Well, good morning. Good morning. Again, it's really, really good to see you guys. I love this energy. Can we keep it going? Do you guys think it's possible to keep this energy up? Come on. I know that, I don't know, you know, where you come from or what your story is, but here's what I know, that not everybody has necessarily a church background, right? There's a lot of people that they come to church maybe only on an Easter service because it's tradition, or because it's just part of the family routine, or maybe someone just asks you enough times. You're like, fine, I'll just do it. Either way, and no matter what, I just, again, want to welcome you and thank you for being here. And listen, I know that not everybody is, like, necessarily churched on an Easter Sunday morning, but listen, it's okay, all right? That's okay, and I want to put you at ease this morning. Just a few weeks ago, early on a Sunday morning, the alarm starts going off, and the wife wakes up, and she turns the alarm off. She goes into the bathroom, and she starts getting herself ready for church that day. And after a few moments, she just sort of pops her head out the door of the restroom, and she says, honey, come on, it's time to get up. We need to get ready. Going to church today, and there's not really much sound, you know. It's just, she goes back to getting herself ready, and after a few more minutes, you know, she just kind of leans back out the door. She says, honey, come on now. We gotta get up and get ready. It's church today. And there's a couple of groans, and he turns over and goes right back to sleep. So she spends a few more minutes getting herself prepared for the day. And then finally, with a little bit more urgency in her voice, she says, honey, it is Sunday morning, and if you don't get up, we're going to be late. You need to start getting ready. We're going to church today. And he finally grumbles back. He says, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to go down there. Those people, they're mean to me. No one really cares about me. They don't like talking to me, and I don't really want to go. And she said, well, honey, I think you and I both know that you're going to church today. Come on, let's get up. Let's get ready. So she goes right back, getting herself ready. And after a few minutes, she finally leans her head back in, and she's, all right, that's it. You got to get up. It's time to go. And he said, just give me one reason, just one reason why I should get up and go to church today. And she said, honey, because you're the pastor. Amen. Sometimes you don't feel like going to church. Come on, I get it. But I want to thank you for being in church with us today. Listen, again, I know that there's a lot of guests with us today. And so here's what I know. Here's what I want to say to you is that I really want to hopefully create an atmosphere that's comfortable enough that you think to yourself, man, that wasn't as bad as I thought. Maybe it was better than I expected. And you know what? I would like to try that again. And so I just want to mention a couple of things that are upcoming that might just intrigue you just a little bit. And so next week, we're going to start a brand new sermon series, and we're going to call it On This Rock. And here's the big idea and the point of this next series is this, that I know that in our church, we have a lot of people that are young in their faith. Maybe they're new Christians. We have a lot of people that I pray today make decisions to step into a relationship with Jesus as a result of this service today. And then even those that are in our church that are very comfortable and very much accustomed to church, and they have been in their faith with Christ for a long period of time. How many of you guys know that it's really, really important to understand how to build our lives properly? And Jesus made this statement. He said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I don't know about you, but I'm competitive, and I like to win. Come on. And so when I see that there's an opportunity in Scripture for me to win, here's what I'm saying. It's like, how can I do that? And so all this series, a little mini three-part series that we're going to begin next Sunday, is just all about how to build our lives the right way on the rock of Christ Jesus so that we can sustain our journey of faith. That sound good, everybody? So I hope that you'll consider coming back to be a part of that. Also, I want to reiterate something the news said. Next Sunday, we're going to do, again, we do this every month, but we're going to do something that we call All Access. We call it that on purpose because we want to give you access to all that we offer, like everything that we are. And so there's a lot more to Church on the Rock than just Sundays. We do a lot of things, outreach in the community. We do life together. I like to say it like this, like we're good in rows. We're much better in circles. And so it's all about community and life in community together. And so if after today you think, oh man, I'd like to learn a little bit more about this church, All Access would be perfect for you, okay? Because we're going to answer questions like, who's making decisions around here, and how is money spent? And perhaps most importantly to you, like, what are you trying to do in my life? Like, what's the goal? And so in All Access, we'll talk about all of those things, answer the questions, and prayerfully give you the opportunity to decide, hey, is this the church that I want to connect with more or not? And by the end of that day, I think you'll know that answer. And then finally, again, I'm reiterating something here, but baptisms are coming. And I know there are scores of people in our church that your next step is baptism. You've made a decision to walk with Jesus on the inside, and now you get the opportunity to express that on the outside. And so I really want to encourage you, if that's your next step, please, please, please come and be baptized. At the end of this service, I'll tell you exactly how you can make sure that your name is on that list. Does that sound good, everybody? Sound fair? Awesome. You ready to get into today's message? Can we do that? You ready? I'm going to take you. Yeah, all right. I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 24. This is the point of Resurrection Sunday. Easter is about this verse that I'm about to read. The Bible says in Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Come on, your enthusiasm should be building if you know Christ right here. Verse 4, when they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the man said to them, and I love this, why do you look for the living among the dead? And get ready to cheer right here. This is what it's all about. Verse 6, he is not here. He has risen. Come on, that's the point of Easter, everybody. That is the point. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you so much, and thank you for this day. Thank you for every single person that's in this room and celebrating their Easter with us. Father, I just pray that you would open all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our eyes to see, to hear, and to receive everything that you want to deposit into us today. Father, no matter where we are with you, I pray that every single one of us would receive something from you that would benefit us and help us to draw nearer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in our church, over the last 9 weeks, we've been in one of the longest message series that we've ever done. We were in a series where we were looking at these Israelite people, God's people, who were bound up in slavery in Egypt. And many of you would know the story, even if you're not familiar with church, but God would call a man by the name of Moses, and he would send Moses into Egypt, and he would give Moses a message for his people. And what he would say is this. He would say, I want you to tell Pharaoh, who was in charge of Egypt, I want you to tell him, hey, I need you to let my people go. These are my people. Cut them loose, right? Or if you're in the deep south, come on, turn them loose. Come on, somebody, right? Like, I need you to let my people go. When that in that same timeline, God said, but I also have this message that I want you to tell my people. And so Moses not only had a word for Pharaoh, but he had a word for God's people. And over the last 9 weeks, this is what we've been unpacking as a church, is understanding exactly what God was trying to achieve in the lives of those Israelites. And here's what we further understood, is that the very thing that God wanted to achieve and do in their lives then is the exact same thing that God wants to achieve in our lives now. In fact, I think God is exactly the same today as he was back then. I think what God wanted for those people, God wants for you and for me. And so here's what we discovered, is that God wants us to know him. Like to come to a knowledge of who he is. God not only wants us to know him, but he wants us to find freedom. Isn't that right? Come on, because we all have issues. Isn't that right? I've got issues, you've got issues, and I would like to confidently say, if you don't think you have issues, that's your issue. Come on, that's it right there, all right? So not only does he want us to know him, but he wants to find freedom from some of that stuff that's just going on in our lives from our past or whatever it is. But then God wants to take us even further than that. God wants us to discover the purpose for our lives. Like, he didn't save us to show up to church on Sundays, everybody. That's not the point. The point is that God designed you a certain way with a purpose and a calling. And he wants you to understand he redeems you back to the way he designed you and then he made you. He wants you to know your purpose. And then finally, he wants us all to make a difference. Isn't that right? Because listen to me carefully. Listen, it isn't all about you. It's about everybody. And so he wants us to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so what I want to do today, in order for us to get to the empty tomb that we just read about, I want to go way back into that same story. We're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament book. That great leader Moses is at the end of his life. And so this journey that they've taken through the wilderness, a journey that probably should have taken days, ended up taking years. And it took years because God needed his people to learn how to walk with him. And not only that, God needed his people to learn how to walk with each other. And the whole point is that we learn to walk with God, and then we learn to walk with each other. And so here we pick up the story at the end of Moses' life, and he knows that, like, I'm at the sunset of my life. It's about to be over. He's about to transition the leadership of these people to this incredible young leader named Joshua. Joshua is about to help them go into that very promised land that God had promised to them years and years before. And we pick up the story in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is Moses speaking to the people. And here's what he says. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey it? And it's not kept beyond the sea, so far that you must ask, who will cross the sea and bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close. It's at hand. It's on your lips, and it's in your heart so that you may obey it. And then in verse 19, he continues. Today, I've given you, say that word with me, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would, and we're going to say those two words together, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about the power of choice. I think choices are a great thing to have. Wouldn't you agree? Just the ability to be able to choose. In fact, just this morning, to be here today, you had the power of choice. You got to choose, am I going to the 9 a.m. or am I going to the 11 a.m.? Isn't that right? You chose. There's a lot of power that comes in choice, right? Some of you had multiple outfits this morning, and ultimately, you chose the one you put on. Isn't that right? Listen, I'll have you know that I have an entire different outfit right back here, okay? To head to toe, everything's different completely. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because it's Easter, everybody. I'm wearing a white shirt. I like caffeine. And if I was to get coffee on this thing, that would not be really good. So I needed a backup plan. But more importantly than that, I mean, that's true. But more importantly than that, it's Easter, everybody. And whatever I wear, I gotta feel it. You know what I'm saying? I need to feel good. So if I was to put this on, even after dressing in it last night and get my wife's approval, and I put it on this morning, and I didn't feel right, I had the power of choice to make a change. Come on, choices are good, aren't they? Amen. Some of you guys are super excited because you know you're getting money back on Amazon when you send those pants. Come on. It's good for you. The choice is really, it's a good thing. And here in this story, right, you have this great leader who's talking to all these people that he cares about deeply. And he's pleading with them. Because for 40 years now, they've been learning to walk with God. They've been learning to walk with one another. And throughout that 40-year span, a lot of things have happened. And we're not going to go into the details of it all, but like the temple has been established and the law of God has been given. And these people are just learning how to be in relationship with the almighty, one true living God. But them, like us, are easily swayed off course. Sometimes I make bad choices, and sometimes I don't choose to do the right thing. And so here's Moses, and he's laying the choice before them, and he's basically saying, like, I want you to choose life or death. Just choose life. Like, if I was to ask you, like, all right, hey, everybody, thanks for coming. You have a choice today. You can either have a blessing or you can have a curse. Which, like, for you, it'd be like, well, duh, right? Like, that's a pretty easy decision. And this is exactly what Moses is doing with these people. And he's pleading with them like a shepherd's heart, right? Like, come on, please choose life. Just make this decision. It's a better choice for you. And that's exactly what I want to talk a little bit about with you this morning is the power of choice. Because I think choice brings a lot of things to us. Like, for example, I think there's joy in choice, right? Anybody ever had to gotten the opportunity to choose? Like, maybe your birthday was coming, let's just say. Your birthday's coming up, and maybe it's your mom or your spouse or one of your kids, and like, I don't really know. Like, I got a couple of great ideas, and I think you'll like either one of them, so fine. I'm just gonna tell you both, and then you choose. Do you want this one, or do you want this one? And then you got to choose, like, oh, man, that's great. I want that one. You ever gotten to choose something like that? Everybody in the room that loves surprises hates this right now, but I'm not talking to you, all right? Just hang on a second, all right? But you ever had the opportunity to just make a choice that was good, like a blessing to you? Either one was good. You just got to choose the best one. There's joy in that, isn't there? Like, oh, yay, I get to choose. Like later today, you get to choose dessert. Come on and say yes to that, everybody. It's Easter. You know what I'm saying? Just choose dessert. It's going to be good for you. I also think there's dignity in choice. Years ago, a pastor, before he retired, used to follow him and learned a lot of leadership things from him, loved watching his church and the way that they just led people and the things they did in their community. And one of the things that their church was called by God to do was to feed less fortunate people and homeless people. And so they created a ministry where they would distribute food. Well, over some time, as it began to grow and really began to take influence into their community, They decided rather than get all this food and put it in boxes and just hand it to people in lines, they actually built a storefront and they created like a shopping center, and they had aisles. And rather than putting food in boxes and handing it to people, they would stock the shelves, and then people could grab a box. They could walk through the store and they could choose for their family the things that best served them. Maybe they had dietary restrictions, or maybe they just didn't like something, or maybe they needed a little bit more of this and a little bit less of that. And so what they did, and here was their exact mindset, is they said, we just feel like there's dignity in choice. These people are hurting. And we just, rather than tell them what they need or just give them what they need, we wanted them to have the dignity to choose what they needed and what best served their families. I think we all could agree there's dignity that comes in choice. But let's be honest, sometimes there's fear that comes with choice too, right? I think we've all been there. There's fear, like, is she the right one for me? Like, oh my gosh, she seems pretty amazing, and I like what's going on so far, but if I choose to commit, what if she's a dragon? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get into this. You can laugh, it's okay. They exist. Both men and women, relax. Come on now, it goes both ways. But there could be fear in that choice, right? There could be fear in the choice of like, well, should I take this job or that job? I mean, it's nice to have the choice, but man, I don't, like, my career's at a great place, and if I make the wrong decision, maybe I don't like the new people that I'm working with, or perhaps my supervisor will just not be like a good personality to mesh with me, or maybe I'll forsake a good thing for something I hope is better, and maybe it's not. I think oftentimes there could be fear associated to choice. I think sometimes there's pain associated to choice. Anybody that ever said, I want to get fit, there's pain that's associated to that decision, am I right? Because if I'm going to have a certain body type or set a goal or whatever, it's gonna be important for me that I choose some things that might be difficult for me to choose. Like, it might be best for me to get the grilled chicken instead of the deep fried chicken that's so much better, you know? I might have to choose to have a fitness routine that might hurt me just a little bit, but ultimately I'm trying to make a choice that I'll appreciate in the long term, not in the short term. But sometimes choices even come with things like pain. You guys with me this morning, right? I think in all of our experiences, we get in these moments and we make these decisions and we have fear associated and there's joy associated. There's sometimes pain that comes with choice. But I think the big idea is this, is the best thing about choices are they're yours. So there's freedom in choice. So even if you choose to pursue the relationship and then you find out she's amazing, this was worth all the investment. And I can see this really going the distance. This may be the girl of my dreams. Or maybe you did make the choice, as risky as it seemed, and as much faith as it was gonna require, and as difficult as it might have been for you, that, yeah, okay, we're gonna move across the country, and I'm gonna take that promotion, and I'm gonna do something different, and I don't know what's on the other side, but you know what? I've made this choice. Or maybe it was Easter Sunday afternoon and you chose to eat the pie. Come on, because it's a cheat day, everybody. Pastor wants to give you permission to have a cheat day today. Can I do that? Enjoy it. You're welcome, sir. All right. I think the best thing about choice is that there's freedom in it, because ultimately the choice really is yours. So when we talk about this, I want to talk about Jesus, because Jesus too, like us, got to make choices, a lot of choices. And I find it actually interesting, because Jesus would make choices that would bless people and bless people and bless people. In fact, it's really all you see from his life are choices that are about other people, choices that are to heal, to bless. Now, Jesus might have called some people out, and they were usually church people, but he'd be like, man, you got this all messed up. It isn't about religion, and it's not about these rules. It's about a relationship with me. But the choices that we would watch Jesus make throughout the story of his life were always choices that were for other people's good. But here's what I know, that must have been very difficult, because there were probably times that Jesus would prefer to choose the easier route, to choose to do something else, but he was always thinking of you, and he was always thinking of me. And what I love is that Jesus would make some of those hard choices, difficult choices. In fact, the reason that you and I today, I believe, have the same option that Moses laid before the people, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And Moses said, oh, that you would choose life. I actually think we have the same choice presented to us today, life or death, blessing or curses. Please choose life. And I think the only reason that we can choose life is because Jesus chose death. Let's look at it together. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. This is Jesus praying right before the cross. He's in the garden and he's under incredible duress. And his prayer is like this: Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Your will, God, not my will. I want you to get what's best for these people, not me. And if you read that story, you'll find that Jesus was in some incredible anguish in that moment because he knew what was in front of him. And I think the flesh side of Jesus was just normal and real like ours. And I think that Jesus was petitioning his Father, like, God, can we pull this off and pull it off differently? Is there another pathway? And if there is, can we explore that? All right, and look at taking that path. But ultimately, Father, I just want to do what's best for these people, and I'll choose your path, not my path. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says that he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, watch this, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And here's what I want you to hear me say more than anything this morning, that because Jesus chose death, you can choose life. His choice gave you your choice. And I know that sounds like, okay, yeah, I got it. And I know that if you've been in a church atmosphere before, maybe you've heard an Easter message before, you've listened to the preacher talk before, I know that's really easy to be like, yeah, I know, Jesus died for my sins. I got you, like, yeah, cool. But here's my prayer for you today. My prayer for you today is that you see this differently than you've ever seen it before, if you've never seen it clearly. Because for those of us who have understood what that really means for us, and we celebrate a day like this. Because the Bible's very clear. The Bible says that the wages of our sin is death. Let me put that in another language. The paycheck you get is death. It's what you've earned. It's what I earned. It's what I get. And yet somehow Jesus made this incredible choice. And the choice was, I am going to pay that debt for you. I am going to earn it for you. And because I will go pay that price, and because I will go pay that debt, you get to choose life or death, blessing or curses. And I believe that Jesus himself, through my voice, is like, hey, would you choose life? Because I've made a way for you to have that option. I've made a way for you to choose that today. And listen, I don't know your stories, all of them, and I don't know all the faces in this room or the dynamics. I don't know what got you here in this moment, but I want you to know something. That we've been praying for you. We've been praying about you. We've been calling on God, like, God, would you just do something powerful in people's lives in our Easter services this year? Can I just be like a real human for a second? Is that okay? You good with that? Okay. Like, a lot of times, pastors and preachers get way caught up in all the wrong stuff. Right, let me just peel back the curtain for a second. Like, how many people came? How many? Is it more than last year? Is it a record? Oh gosh, that's the biggest we've ever had. And I will not lie to you, there's something inside of me that like longs for, like, did we reach more than we've ever reached before? What was the number? But I've been praying for months, God, help me to have a different perspective. And here's what I've been praying. I've been praying for people that I don't even know. I don't know their ages, their genders, their color, their social statuses. I don't know. But I've been praying, God, would this be the year that somebody, if one, two, five, would actually encounter the truth about choice. That for them, they would see it like they've never seen it before. That for you, it isn't just Easter. It's the day that something radically changed on the inside of you because you had an understanding of something you've never understood before. That all my life, I've heard that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but listen to me carefully. He didn't just die. He conquered death and walked out of that tomb. And his life gives you life. And his ability to conquer death gives us the ability to step into this personal relationship with him. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will live. In other words, the choice, it is yours. You get to make that choice. And I just believe with all of my heart that there are some people in this room right now, some of you, and here's what you know. You're desperate. You're like, something's wrong, and I don't even know what it is. I'm searching for something, and I can't even pinpoint or understand what it is that I'm searching for. You're just desperate for hope. And you know who you are. There are others of you that you're like, I don't know. Like, I'm good. I feel good. You know, kid's good. Dog's good. House good. Job's good. It's good. Can I be honest? Like, really honest? You're the ones I prayed for the most. I wonder about people that they have a good job, a healthy family, nice home, decent cars, they're socially accepted, they have friends, they have great weekends, they do stuff, they go on vacations, and they have everything that the American dream would be like, man, like, you're doing it. And everything actually is so good that maybe you don't see or recognize that, like, yeah, but there's this thing about my sin. And even if I have the nice car and the pool and the house and the kids and the college fund, whatever, there's still this thing about our sin that has to be dealt with, reckoned, because there's a payment for it and somebody has to pay it. And Jesus is like, hey, that's what I did for you. Because he's laying before us over and over and over again, life, death, choose life. And maybe you're afraid that if you choose life, that it'll come with all kind of pain. Well, I have to give up this, and God will call me to Africa, and this. I, you know what? I just don't know if that's true. I do think God will call us to do things that are difficult, and he'll place before us choices sometimes that are hard for us to live out. But here's what I know. It leads to life. It might be hard in that moment, but it's worth it in the long run. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, here's what the Bible says. It says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the hope of the gospel. And I've been praying for you that today you would go, I see that I, like everybody in this room, I am a sinner, I am in need of a Savior. And I know that dozens of us, hundreds of us in our church have come to that awareness and made that decision to walk with Jesus. And I would just invite you to make that choice too. Join us in this life of faith. Here's what you'll discover. We don't know it all. We still have our own issues. We get it wrong all the time. If you ever see me in traffic, you're gonna be like, I don't know if that guy's saved, much less a pastor. It happens, man. No, y'all don't know how to do it. It bothers me, right? I'm playing, but seriously. And I have good days and bad days. And if you spend any time around our church, you'll just discover, like, wow, these are just real people. They get real bills, and Their kids live real lives in real schools, and they have real issues, and they have the same struggles and temptations. They have to overcome the same kind of adversities as me. Yeah, that's us. Welcome to Church on the Rock. That's who we are. But there's this one thing. We've seen the gospel. We know God because of his son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're finding freedom from all that stuff, and we're discovering purpose in our lives for every season. We're making a difference in the lives of others, and we do it together. And that's the best part about being in the family of God. And so as we close, we're almost done. This is my final verse I want to end with. It's Luke chapter 23, verse 46. These were Jesus' last words when he hung on the cross, when he made the choice just to go the distance for you and for me. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, the Bible says that he breathed his last. So here's what I would like, perhaps, some of you in this room that have never done this before, I would love for you to say today, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm going to choose life today. The choice is mine because you made the choice. And so, Jesus, I can see that I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior." If you make that choice today, you've chosen life, and you become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And so here's what I would love to do. I'd love to ask every person in the room, if you would, just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'd love for this to be as much of a distraction-free atmosphere as possible. And maybe you're in this room and you just know somehow. You might have known it when you walked in. You may have realized it somewhere along the way. You may have just become aware just now in this moment, but you've recognized, "That's me. Josh, that's me. I can see it. And I need to put my spirit into my Father's hands." And listen, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something we don't often do around here, but every head is bowed and eyes are closed all across the auditorium. If that's you, would you be so bold just to lift your hand? That's the only thing I'll ask you to do. Would you say, "That's me. I need that prayer." Maybe you're just far from God. Yep, I see a hand there. I see a hand there. I see a hand there. I'm just far from God. I need to reconnect. It might be a reconnection, or it may be the first time connection. I appreciate those hands. You can put those down. I see more hands shooting up. More hands, more hands. Good, thank you, thank you. This moment is for you. We prayed for you. I don't want this to be another church service. I want it to be your day that you'll always look back on. Like two of the men in my life group right now who talk about Easter at Church on the Rock and what that meant for them. So here's, gather myself here. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to repeat a very simple prayer after me. And I want you to listen very carefully. This prayer, there's nothing special about the words of this prayer. What's special, what's meaningful, is what's going on inside of your heart. The Bible says if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and we confess him with our mouths, we will be saved. The most important part is already taking place. It's what's going on the inside of you. I'm just a guide right now, and I'm just gonna help you with some words that will become the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ. And some of you are saying this for the very first time. Some of you are saying this again because you need to reconnect with your Heavenly Father. But I'm going to ask everybody in this room to say this prayer out loud with me. And here's why. Those of you that are saying it because it means something to you, because this is your moment, because this isn't just Easter, this is life change. We want you to be able to say it boldly and confidently. We are here to support you. And so here's our prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, Amen. 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 Come on, can we celebrate those that made that decision? Let's stand together all across the room. Congratulations. I saw hands here, hands there, hands there. I saw hands up there. Congratulations. Come on, give it up for those. This was your moment. This mattered. Woo! Yeah. For you, wasn't just Easter. Mattered. Let me give you a little tip before I let you go. For those of you that you raised your hand and you said that prayer along with us, listen to me. Listen to me. You will hear voices in your head say, that was just emotion. It wasn't a big deal. That didn't matter. Listen to me carefully. That is a lie from Satan. If that bothers you, I don't know what to tell you, but that is a lie. Because you are safe in the arms of your heavenly Father. The Bible says He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No one can take you from His hand. You are safe with Him. Amen. Just like that video. Yeah, but I might met. Come on. Yeah, you can give God praise for that. That's true. It's just true. Like in that video during worship, you know, and Mary's like, I messed it up. I messed up. And Jesus is like, okay. Like, that's not a real good redemption if you can lose it in a day. Right? Like he is faithfully committed to you. Amen. So here's, as we go, all right, here's what I'm going to ask. If you made that decision today, I'm personally asking you, would you please tell us? Please tell us. And here's how you would do that. I'm going to ask you to take your phone and just text the word reborn to the number 97,000. Reborn. All that's going to do is let us know you've made a decision. And listen, why would you, like, Josh, why would you want me to do that? Here's why. I'm going to tell you why. We just want to invite you, like, hey, join us in this journey of faith. Like, we're learning too. We're figuring it out too. We're growing in our faith as well. You will fit right in with us because you're just like us. Is that making sense, everybody? And it would just mean everything to me if you would follow through on that and you would text reborn to 97,000. Now, some of the very same people that would make that text, you might text another text to that same number. Text the word baptize, because your next step, like, that's your next step. What just happened was for you inside. Baptism is the expression of that happening on the outside. Is that making sense? At Church on the Rock, we call it the wedding band of salvation. This wedding band does not make me married, but it identifies that I am. And so baptism, that's what it is. It doesn't save you, but it identifies I've been saved. It's an expression that the old me was buried to the old ways. I was washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and I'm raised to new life in Him. Amen, everybody. Like, we want as many people as possible to have that reality in their lives. So I'm encouraging you, text reborn to 97,000 if you made that decision, or text baptized to 97,000 if that's your next step. May I pray a blessing over you and then dismiss you to your Easter celebration? Father, thank you for this day. Jesus, thank you so much for these people and the privilege it has been for us to serve them today. Jesus, I pray more than anything that you would help us to just continue to gain a deeper and deeper understanding of who you are, what you offer us, God, the things that you want to do in our lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us at Church on the Rock to know you, to find freedom, to discover our purpose, and to make a difference. And I pray, Father, for every single person that joined us for Easter, would you just bless them, especially today? And God, for those that made that life change decision, help us to just become their friends and their family and guide them into a life-giving relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, thank you for spending Easter with us. If you want prayer, we will have prayer partners down at the front. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you.